Lord, I pray now that you breathe upon your word. I pray that your hand be rested upon me, that by your grace I will speak the word of life. Lord, I pray that you empower your word this morning to make a difference in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I want to continue from the message of last week. And I want to welcome you to Wisdom Assembly. If this is your first time, we'll spend some time to welcome you specially. We appreciate you coming. Amen. I want to quickly read ahead the book of Genesis. Genesis 29. And I want to read verse 15 to 30. Genesis 29, 15 to 30. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder is Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in to her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob. And he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this that you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country. So give me the younger before the first, to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill our week, and we will give you this one also for the service you will serve with me still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled our week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. Praise the Lord. Think about a group of people going on a journey of 200 miles. And they all stopped halfway. And half of the people turned back from that journey due to the challenges or the rugged terrain of their travels. They turned back to where they started from. And the other half continued to reach their destination. I want to submit to you that they all traveled the same distance. Those who got halfway and turned back to where they started from because they couldn't face the challenges. And those who decided that they are committed to this journey and to reach their desired destination, they all traveled the same distance. Why travel the same distance without the benefit of pleasure? Commitment does not stop halfway. Commitment does not turn back. Commitment may stop. Commitment may rest for a while, but it always continues to the desired end. If you are one of those kind of people that give themselves a reason why you should not live out your God-given dream, then you will deny yourself the promise of greatness. When God promised Abraham that was going to make him great, God did not say, I'm just going to drop greatness on your laps. I'm not just going to give it to you without you doing nothing. Most times God gives us the big picture, but it doesn't show us the in-between. Life is full of rugged terrains. Some of us have failed in relationships because of the ruggedness that is in relationship. Like I tell my wife often, love is a very painful thing. Love, to love somebody is painful. And that is why when you break somebody's heart, it's painful. Very, very painful. Because when commitment is broken, I don't need to expatiate on that. There are no pleasure results in excuses. I've met a lot of Christians. They always have a ready excuse for everything that is not happening. Excuses is the reason why they are not where they ought to be. Excuses is the reason why they are not doing what they ought to be doing. Then you can't receive the pleasure and the benefits that is connected to what you are supposed to be doing. And the truth of the matter is, whether you feel you are committed or not, at every stage in life, everybody is committed. Every stage, you are committed. What are you committed to? Some people are committed to excuses, like I said. Some people are committed to mediocrity. Some people are committed to, there's nothing you can say. I'm not going to do anything. You become your daily routine. Whatever you are committed to doing every day is who you have become. Take a minute. Look at yourself. Look at your life. Look at where you started from. Look at where you are. If you are satisfied, then there's no reason to be committed anymore. But dissatisfied people with where they are, they know they must be ready to do more. And everybody has the capability to do more. You have the capability to step out of mediocrity. You have the capability to commit to improve yourself so that you don't sell yourself short. I've met women, in discussion with them, I came to a conclusion, they have a low self-esteem of themselves. They have no value of who they are. They are more committed to what other people are saying, what somebody else is saying about them, than what God say they are. The psalmist prayed a prayer that I hope you will pray too. In Psalm 119 and verse 37. He said, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Those who turned back from that journey, they became distracted. It was not as if there were no challenges to the halfway house. I watched a movie not too long ago about a guy in France who had never climbed any mountain before in his life.
And he made it to the top of Mount Everest. And he was the only one among all those with whom he started the journey. Even the guide that was supposed to take him there. A few meters from the top, the oxygen had finished. And the guide said, no, we have to go back now. There's no more oxygen to go to the top. And he was holding the flag. And he was looking at the peak of the mountain in front of him. It was easy to turn back, but he was a few meters away from the very top. He looked at the guide and said, no, I have to get to the top. He had seen on the way how they carried dead bodies. Many people die in attempting to climb Mount Everest. But this guy had a determination. What was the reason? Because of a woman. Because of a woman. He was in love with a girl who did not take him serious. And he just blotted out a promise. I love you to the extent that I will climb Mount Everest for you. And the girl was like, you? That spoiled him. Because he needed the heart of that girl. He climbed it. Not only did he climb it, he got to the very top. And by the way, he was a black man. Black people don't attempt adventures. Praise the Lord. You don't see black people on the high sea sailing. Amen. You don't see black people hiking. Praise the Lord. We are a fearful breed. God have mercy. Amen. Is it that you are committed to mediocrity, selling yourself short, or you are committed to being productive? Nothing great in life comes easy. If you are going to see your desired result, you have to become intentionally committed. You have to be what? Intentionally committed. What does that mean? That means that you just don't do what you can, but you do what you must. You have to do what you must within moral and legal remit. You have to do what you must. Don't be like that person who just do what they can. I'll do whatever I can. I don't like people like that. I don't like to hang around people like that. People like that don't motivate me. Some people will say, well, I'll try. You don't try with life. You do it. You do it, whatever the cost may be. Because if your eyes is on the prize, you will give it whatever it takes. Go to Winter Olympics that's going on right now. And you see not many people, not many athletes. Because of the rigors of being an athlete in the snow. It takes more. If you're on the slope and you have to slide down, the weight you are carrying alone to protect yourself from the cold is a lot. Then you have to go down the fastest. Bobsleigh. Very dangerous. But there are some who are committed to it because, hey, they've been practicing for years. Why? Because of the applause standing on that podium and winning gold medal. And let me tell you something. In the United States of America, we don't reward Olympians more than they reward them in other countries. In America, maybe your gold is worth $25,000. They don't do it for the money. Praise the Lord. And when you get the $25,000, IRS is waiting for you. They are ready to take the tax out of it. They didn't go onto the mountaintop with you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when I'll try people around you say I'll try, it means they are just telling you, I'm not committed to it. I'm not committed to it. So don't expect much from me. They are afraid to commit. Why? Because of the sacrificial demands. Everybody wants results. Nobody wants to sacrifice. You know why? We don't even have the number of people we'll have in church today like we had last week. Because of the weather. The moment they hear that, oh, on Sunday overnight it's going to snow. Church is out of the picture. The sacrifice. And then they didn't plan for it, so they didn't wake up on time. When they looked at the window, it was just flurry. Well, anyway, I didn't plan to go there anyway. For me, those are the people who come just to mark time. That's why I encourage you, become a walker and commit to being a walker. Even the food you eat there, that will feed you, the word will feed you, stronger. Hallelujah. The fruit of everything, anything good in life, begins with a challenge. Life itself is a challenge. Amen. A newborn baby given birth to today, right now, has a challenge in breathing. Has a challenge in coping with the new atmosphere. I remember when my youngest son was born. Sometimes we bathe him in the sink, in the bathroom. And he will fold himself up as if he's still in the womb without warm water. He enjoys it. Take him out of it. He starts screaming. It's a challenge for him. My advice to you is, maybe you are facing one challenge or the other right now. Don't give up. I told us before, at the end of the fear, at the other side of your fear, that's where your testimony lies. Praise the Lord. Growth in any area of life comes through the pain called commitment. Commitment. Many people don't like it because of the pain. Some men can't commit to a woman. They like moving from woman to woman. And some women too can't commit to a man. They are moving from men to men. I said to us at the beginning of this year, have dreams. Have a vision. That's your dream. Break it down into goals. Break it down into monthly goals. What target are you going to hit this week? Weekly goals. What target are you going to hit today? Daily goals. Hourly goals. Break them down. Apply discipline. Because you may paint the picture. But if you are not disciplined enough to commit yourself to what it takes to become that picture is a useless picture. If I ask you this morning if you want something better for yourself, everybody wants something better. You want a better pay, a better job. But are you committed? Are you committed? Are you committed to get that better pay? Are you committed to get that better job? There's nothing in life that will drop on your laps. Nothing good drops on your laps. Hallelujah. You have to be committed to getting it. You have to give it what it takes to get in it. The year is young. Position yourself. Train your mind. Train your mind that until I get it, I'm not stopping. Those of us who have been long with us in this church, you know how we started with nothing. I personally came to Kansas City from England with nothing. I had no 2 cents to rub together in my pocket. But I came with a vision. I came with a promise from God. If I was not committed to that promise, if I was not committed to that vision, we wouldn't be in this building today. We won't be here. There are so many reasons why we could stop. There are so many reasons why I personally could have given up. But I looked at myself. I can't fail me. I can't fail the promise of God. I can't be part of the statistics of those who came and failed. I must succeed. I became like that engine climbing the hill. I must succeed. I simply cannot stop. Some of you have told, oh, Pastor, take it easy, rest. I know. But at times I can't stop because there are things to be done. There are things to achieve. I have to push myself for it. I see most of you only on Sundays. You don't know what goes on during the week when you're at your own job. We don't know what it takes to bring a message and put it together so that it can benefit and bless us. It takes a lot of work and it's commitment. Sometimes, no matter how I feel, many times I've been on this pulpit and I'm dying inside, pain killing me, and I have to stand here and deliver. I know what commitment is all about. Folks, anywhere you see fruit, there has been commitment and sacrifice. There has been commitment and sacrifice. If you are afraid to sacrifice, you'll be denied pleasurable results. If you are afraid to sacrifice, you'll be denied pleasurable results. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you getting something? Amen. We read the story of Jacob. Jacob, the direct grandson of Abraham, who had the promise. Amen. We see the soot side coin of Jacob's commitment. Jacob always had a plan. When Esau was coming out first, Jacob's hand was on his leg. Two nations wrestling. Esau beat Jacob to it. But Jacob always had a plan. I have to be the first. You see, the sibling rivalry between Esau and Jacob, you see that in your children too. I see that a lot in my children. They tend to fight for everything, even a simple cup of water. Who is going to brush their teeth first? Who's going to bath first? Who's going to get their food first? It's always a fight. You can't correct me. You don't know more than me. You are not better than me. I know that happens in your home too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jacob was so committed to the birthright issue, he plotted for it. He sought the weakness of his brother. He knew that this guy likes food. I will catch him with food. And Jacob also knew the importance of words. You know, Esau sold his birthright for a plate of food. Praise the Lord. He played on his twin brother's weakness. And secondly, with the help of his mother, he fraudulently got the blessing. You know that story. Then he had to run and hide. And then suddenly, he fell in love. The matter of love. When it came to the matter of love, we see a man who was dedicatedly committed to getting the woman he loved. We read the story, came into his uncle's home. Rachel was the one he first saw. The Bible described Leah. There's nothing wrong with Leah, except the way she looks. If Leah is looking directly at you, one of her eyes is looking that light. You know, it's as if it's on that side, but she's looking at you. She was that kind of a person. But the Bible says, it says, let me read it to you. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Coca-Cola bottle. And Jacob was like, sorry. This is the one. Are we not always moved with outward appearance? That's it. But in the culture where he went to want to get married, the father said, we don't give the junior before the senior. The senior must get married. I don't understand that kind of culture anyway. Jacob said, well, Rachel, your younger daughter, is the one I love. And I will work for you for 7 years. Don't pay me, just give me food. Rachel is my payment. And he began to labor every day from dusk to dawn, waking up, serving, building up the wealth of his uncle because of his love for that woman. And then after 7 years, can I have my salary, please? He said, okay, yeah, we'll throw you a feast. In those days, there was no electricity. Maybe they had a wicker lamp or all these tiny lamps. And not in this day and time. When a woman is wedding and they put a veil to cover her face, the veil means she's full virgin. But this day, whether you are virgin or not, they cover you with a veil. Hallelujah. It's not an indictment to anybody. Praise the Lord. Leah was the one presented in the dark of the night because, you see, that veil is not a net that you can see the form of the person that they are bringing to you at the altar, that the one is marching towards you with her father. Da, 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 da. You already know that this is my wife. This one, no, is in the night. It's like sneaking in somebody. And bro had already switched off the light. No light. It was in the morning after the deed that has been done that he woke up and like, what? What are you doing here? Where's Rachel? No, I was here all night. I don't want to sound vain because I could say something and I don't even have the time to say them. He was furious. How dare you? How dare you? This is not what I work for. I know, you know, his uncle was like, I know. His uncle too was a sneaky man. I think the sneakiness of Jacob was from his mother's side. You know, Jake was sneaky too. Well, Rachel is available still, but you have to work another 7 years. Because of the love, the result, the pleasure that he has dreamed up of having Rachel in his arms, of calling Rachel his wife, his best friend. They play together. He couldn't give that up. 7 years. Okay, no problem. No problem, I'll work. That is called commitment. He gave himself. He sacrificed to Jacob. Sacrifice was nothing. Because he loved what the result of the sacrifice would be. If you can only taste the result even before it arrives, it will mean nothing to give everything you are and you have to become and be committed to all that you need to do. Let me tell you. If you ask yourself, why am I always broke? Why don't I have enough all the time? You're broke because you are not committed to putting money aside for investment. You think everything you see, you must have. And when you buy cheap stuff that you have to repeat it again. Like I always tell my wife, if you're going to buy a shoe, buy a quality one. So that in 15 years' time, I don't know why we are laughing. I have 15-year-old shoes that when I wear them, you will think I just bought them. Because your mind is like, oh, 15 years must have gone out of fashion. Because it is the shoe that adds value to you. You are not the one that adds value to the shoe. And that's what the world has made us become. They put these things before us. It's like, until you have that, you are nobody. I don't know what car you drive now, but you may be dreaming of another car. Like, hey, if I can drive a G-Wagon or a Rolls Royce, then I'm a person of importance. Maybe if you drive it in Africa, people can be jealous of you. I don't think anybody will be jealous of you in America, because the same distance your Rolls Royce will take you is the same distance my own car too will take you. Praise the Lord. The parking space you have is the size of the same parking space that I have. Your car may be worth more than mine. That's fine. It doesn't make you worth more than me. Amen? Bishop Oyedepo said something important. I've read it many times. People said, oh, Bishop Oyedepo is worth $100 million. I heard him say it by himself. He said, what an insult that people will say I'm worth $100 million. That's an insult. My worth is my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. The riches of God in glory is worth more than $150 million. I'm sure some of you will be saying, well, to me it won't be an insult. Let me just have half of it. Even a tenth of it. I will show pastor. Praise the Lord. One thing catches up with everybody. And that's time. Time catches up with you. Time catches up with me. And time is always something we think we have more of. And we don't. We don't have more time. From yesterday till now, we have had less time. Time is ticking. Time is ticking. Time is something you can't duplicate. Time is worth more than money. So the value of your time, how you commit to the time you have, becomes key in your life. You think about retirement. When you get to that age, what you get at your retirement is largely based on what you are committed to now. As I talk to us, when you get home, go and check your retirement package. That when you retire, what will you be worth? Or if you are no more here, and you are married, you have children, what will you have left? Is it going to be debt or substance for your children? What are you committed to now? How committed are you investing for the future? Most of us depend on the government concerning our 401k. I don't have time to lecture us on that. You can commit to more than that. Recently, I began to tell myself that, hey, Carl, you are moving towards 60 now. There were days when I can jog very fast. And today I'm jogging. And I think I'm fast. But it was in slow motion. Because the body is not what it used to be. Time is chipping it away. And a time will come. Wisdom Assembly, I'll come to church. But maybe I will be sitting on a chair. There are preachers I see like that, old age, sitting on a chair and preaching. Before, we used to shout and preach, heaving and sighing. The bottom line is, if I retire from this church, do you think this church will take care of me? I doubt it. I doubt it. Our fathers back in Africa, they worked for a company for years and years. And when they retire, they give them a wristwatch. 25 years of service. I want to tell you there's a diamond inside you. And your average will not dig it out. Let's rise up on our feet. My time is spent. I have more to say. I'll continue next week.